We're going to spend some time this week talking about privatization in America, privatization of education, defense, infrastructure, our digital lives, where it's worked well and where it hasn't. To start us off, we're joined by Donald Cohen and Sherzad Habibi of the research and advocacy group In the Public Interest. Hello to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, privatization is ubiquitous today, but how did we get here? Who came up with the idea of privatization? I'll start with you, Donald Cohen.
Well, the idea came from a reaction by conservative ideological theorists and strategists in reaction to the New Deal, to the expansion of government services and the role of government in our society. They actually redefined what governments all over the country already did, and that's lots of contracting for things. But they turned it into an ideological struggle. And what conservatives now come into government to do to privatize or outsource services.
So it was political more than economic, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you look at some of the writings of folks from the Heritage Foundation and other sort of conservative think tanks in the 70s and 80s who wanted to reduce the role of government, they want government to be, you know, you get what you pay for and you don't pay for what you don't use. And so they created a political project that was intended strategically, and they're very clear about this, to split constituencies because most people actually liked government services and wanted government services. So they needed to split those constituencies that supported government programs from the question of who delivers those services.
The person that I think a lot of people associate with privatization even today is President Ronald Reagan, who was a big champion of it. In 1987, he signed an executive order creating a commission on privatization. But long before that, he championed the private sector. Here he is in a 1964 speech, 2 years before he was elected governor of California.
A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. They also knew, those founding fathers, that outside of its legitimate functions, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy.
How responsible was Reagan for launching this wave of privatization in America?
He played a big role in the ideological push to privatize and outsource American public services. He actually didn't do that much implementation. He was up against a Democratic Congress. He signed the executive order. He pushed hard. But in the end, it really fell to President Clinton to implement.
Which is interesting because he obviously was a Democrat.
Right. Well, he was a Democrat that came in 1992 and, you know, his famous quote, the era of big government's over, which speaks to Reagan's sort of ideological influence that, you know, the attack on government had succeeded and people were just, you know, people didn't trust government anymore. But what Clinton did was actually make it happen. You know, he had asked Vice President Gore to lead a commission on reinventing government. And that's all well and good. You should always do better and you should always reinvent. But he did, two things came out of that were very important. First, Clinton told Gore and told the administration, made a decision in the administration to reduce the federal employment by 100,000 jobs. The problem with that is the work still needs to happen. People still count on the services. So the result is the beginning of a massive increase in the number of contractors. The second thing that came out of the Gore program and President Clinton's language was really about redefining who we are from citizens to consumers, where we were now customers of public services. We were no longer citizens with rights and responsibilities. And I can't overestimate the significance of that. Redefining who we are and what we do as a nation, as participants, is really important. We aren't just consumers. It's in my interest for every child to be educated, for my interest for workers in another part of the country to not be poisoned on the job, and for there to be a middle class. It's in all of our interests, and those are the things that governments do.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about privatization in America with Donald Cohen and Sherzad Habibi from the group In the Public Interest. And Sherzad Habibi, let me bring you in. Where are we seeing privatization today in this country more than we've ever seen in the past?
So really, there's privatization and contracting going on in all sectors of government, everything from education to health and human services to our physical infrastructure, to our criminal justice system, our water systems. So we're really seeing corporations seeing these public services and public assets as potential moneymakers. There's almost $2 trillion worth of contracts on the local, state, and federal levels of government combined every year. And some of those contracts are done well, and some of them are not. So last year, we looked at a sample of cities that had contracted out their trash collection. And some of them were done well. Some of them had strong language regarding things like the city's ability to manage the contract, to oversee and hold the contractor accountable. There were provisions that ensured workforce stability. And those were the contracts that were more successful and allowed the city to be able to quickly correct problems, when they cropped up.
Well, let me bring up an example, and I think that this may be reflective of something that some of our listeners, as they hear both of you speak, are thinking, which is, I remember two construction projects going on at the same time. One was a bus station in the middle of a big intersection, and one was a huge hotel that they were building right across the street from the bus station. The bus station was being done by the city or by the government. The hotel was being done by a private organization. The hotel was finished faster than the bus stop. I think a lot of people look at that and they say the private companies can do things quicker.
One thing to note, one thing to a bus station, another thing for talking about, and we were, you know, what Cher was referring in infrastructure is roads and bridges and big projects. All of those things are built by the private sector. So we contract for all, you know, every major piece of infrastructure is built by the private sector. So the issue, of course, is who's in control of it, right? We believe that government needs to be as good as it, better than the private sector, because it's tax money and it's our money and it's precious and limited. But that's different than handing over control to private sector, and we'll hire them to build it and they'll do a good job or not good job, depending on the, how the standards are set up. But we also give it to them. We privatize it. And that's where that's where really awful things have happened.
Awful things like what? What is so scary about privatization in your view?
Yeah. So there are a lot of examples, of contracts that don't maintain that public control, that don't have those strong standards. In 2008, the city of Chicago signed a 75-year contract with a consortium of companies that included Morgan Stanley to run the city's 36,000 parking meters. And the contract included a compensation clause that required the city to pay financial penalties to the private companies if events occurred that threatened their profits. So as a result, the city has to pay the private companies for lost revenue resulting from very standard policy and planning decisions that remove a parking meter from the system.
Like a parade or something like that.
Exactly. So creation of new bike lanes, street fairs, road construction. And what's really important to note is this is for the life of the 75-year contract. So this is really limiting what policymakers can do generations into the future.
Now, we have a president now who was a private businessman. He has railed against big government. What are you expecting from President Trump on the issue of privatization? Do you expect a lot of things that right now are public to become private?
One area that we're concerned about is around prison privatization and privatization of immigration detention. There has been a lot of momentum in the Trump administration to increase the number of beds within the immigration detention system. And what that means is contracting out with for-profit companies. The two largest of companies are publicly traded companies, Geo Group and CoreCivic. These are companies that have horrible track record. There was one prison in Idaho that was so violent that it became known as the Gladiator School, and it was incredibly mismanaged and understaffed. And in the immigration detention facilities where there's children and families, there's documentation of psychologically damaging conditions, with children being subjected to harsh living conditions, inedible food, wrong dosages of medications, and other horrific conditions.
Donald Cohen?
President Trump's cabinet and appointees are really sort of a roadmap to privatize all sorts of things. They'd like to privatize Medicaid. They want to, and they're certainly trying to do that in the current health care bill. Give states the opportunity to do that. Education, you know, sort of across the board in every department. And I'm pretty convinced what will happen, you know, from my research on the Clinton administration, every other administration, is maybe it's Jared Kushner, but they're going to go to every department in the federal level and say, what can you outsource? In a lot of places, the federal government is just a bank, right? It gives monies to states and locals to do X or Y or build a road or what have you. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they condition some of those grants and loans and things on outsourcing and privatization.
That's Donald Cohen and Sherzad Habibi with the research and advocacy group In the Public Interest, starting off our series on privatization in America. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.